And the last couple of weeks, we haven't been in a series. I'm not beginning a new series today. I want to take a little different direction than what we've been going in the last couple of weeks. In Judges chapter number 6, and verse number 36. Judges chapter 6, we're going back into the Old Testament, the book of Judges chapter 6, and verse number 36. And I'm going to invite you to read audibly with me if you would. And Gideon said unto God, if thou wilt save Israel by mine hand, as thou hast said, behold, I will put a fleece of wool in the floor, and if the dew be on the fleece only, and it be dry upon all the earth beside, then shall I know that thou wilt save Israel by mine hand, as thou hast said. And it was so, for he rose up early on the morrow, and thrust the fleece together, and wringed the dew out of the fleece, a bowl of water. And Gideon said unto God, let not thine anger be hot against me. I will speak but this once. Let me prove, I pray thee, but this once with the fleece. Let it now be dry only upon the fleece, and upon all the ground let there be dew. And God did so that night, for it was dry upon the fleece only, and there was dew on all the ground. My subject today, and I may teach more than preach, my subject today is simply fleeces and other signs. Fleeces and other signs. Let's pray and then we'll get right into it. Father, thank you for your presence here today. Thank you, Lord, for what you're going to do among us. And I pray for your help that I could communicate your word in such a way, Lord, that it's anointed by the Spirit and, Lord, that it gets into our hearts and into our lives to challenge us, to guide us, to direct us, and Lord, to always bring us closer to you. And this we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. And you may be seated. And just before I get started on the message, let me just say a special thanks to Sister Rayanne. She is one of our new members of the media team and looking after the sound and the video and all of that this morning back there. And so thank you to her for stepping up and doing that. We've had a number of new volunteers and who have been stepping up and doing that, and I appreciate it so much. This morning, I want to talk about knowing and understanding and following the direction and the guidance of God in our lives. Now, sometimes we make the will of God to be something spooky, to be something far out, or something very difficult to understand. And I'm really hoping that I can take what we often make complicated and attempt to make it simple for us to understand and be able to grasp. Our text, it's interesting, this text, it's taken from the life of a man named Gideon, a man who is really, like we are, often a study in contrast. Gideon had an experience with God and with an angel, and he was told that he was going to be a deliverer. He was going to raise an army. He was going to be a deliverer. But Gideon, and Hebrews 11 calls him a man of faith, struggled with doubt. Ever feel like that? Ever been there? I think we all have. He struggled to believe, mostly because of his own, he had a very poor self-image, an image of himself that was very poor. So let me give you his story in a nutshell. The Midianites, they were enemies of Israel, had come in, conquered Israel. And every year, just as the harvest was coming in, they would come and take everything. And Israel would be left to starve with very little. And so Gideon gets some wheat together. He goes down to an old wine press. Now, a wine press was just a big bucket. They would have a couple of buckets. And he was threshing the wheat. He was beating the wheat to prepare it so that it could be used. And so he's down there just hoping to hide out enough to have enough food for his family for the winter. That's his goal. He's not being brave. He's just trying to supply his family. An angel appears, and it's interesting. The angel speaks to him and says, Gideon, thou mighty man of valor. Now, what we know about Gideon is that Gideon was anything but a mighty man of valor. Gideon was not a great warrior. Gideon was not a very brave person at that time. As a matter of fact, he argued with the angel and said, "Hey, I'm the least of my family, and my family's the least of my tribe, and so you can see you got the wrong guy." Well, God doesn't get the wrong man or woman. He doesn't make deliveries by mistake. He always has the right address. So if God speaks to you, he's got the right address. And so the angel appears. Gideon makes an offering to the Lord, builds an altar, makes an offering. Fire comes down from heaven, consumes the sacrifice, and Gideon says, "Okay, I'm your guy." Now, I don't know about you, but if I see an angel and fire comes down and consumes a sacrifice that I've made, I've got a pretty good idea that's probably God. So Gideon goes out, he tears down an idol that had been built in his family, and he tears it down, and they begin to call him Zerubbabel, which meant the tear down of idols or the tear down of Baal. And then we come to the text that we've read. And it's interesting because Midian, the enemy, had made some allies with other nations. They were coming across the Jordan because Israel, they felt like, was getting out of control, and they were ready. The enemy was ready to do war. Look at verse 34. It's in the New Living. It'll be on the screen. And I apologize if that's a little bit hard to read. But it said, "Then the Spirit of the Lord took possession of Gideon." I read that and it kind of spoke to me because, you see, when the Spirit of the Lord gets a hold of you, you'll step out of your comfort zone. When the Spirit of the Lord gets a hold of you, you'll do things you never thought you could do. When the Spirit of the Lord gets a hold of you, you might have been a chicken, but God will make you a hero. When the Spirit of the Lord gets a hold of you, there's no telling what God can do. And so it said the Spirit of the Lord took possession of Gideon. So look at what happens. He blew a ram's horn as a call to arms. Remember, the Spirit of the Lord gets a hold of him. He blows a ram's horn. He sends out a call to the men around him and the tribes around him for them to gather together because we're going to do battle. The Spirit of the Lord can give you courage to do the things that you need to be able to do. And so he sends messages, but then he gets cold feet. Ever had that experience? You felt like God was telling you that this can happen, and you step out in faith, and it may not be a huge thing, but it's just something you felt like was going to happen, and then you start to get cold feet. That's what happens to Gideon. He starts to get cold feet, and the men are coming. The army is gathering, and Gideon gets cold feet. So he takes a sheepskin, and he lays it on the ground. And then he prays, "God, if you're going to use me, let the fleece be wet with dew and the ground dry." And so in the morning, the fleece is wet. He wrings it out. There's water to fill a bowl that comes out of it, and the ground around is dry. There's no dew. And so you would think that that would be enough because he's already seen an angel. He's already had fire come down from heaven. He's already had the Spirit of the Lord take control of him. Now, you see where I'm going with this? He's already had the Spirit of the Lord take control of him. He's already had a wet fleece with dry ground, which is exactly what he asked for. You'd think that would be enough. But Gideon, well, he really had cold feet. And so he prays again. He says, "Lord, let me ask you just this one thing." Now, by my count, that's the second thing. "Now, Lord, this time, let the ground be wet with dew and let the fleece be totally dry." Just the opposite happened, just in case, you know, Lord. And so he gets up in the morning, and he goes to the fleece, and the fleece is totally dry, and the ground around it is soaked with dew, and he says, "Well, Lord, I guess this must be a God thing." There's a couple of things I want you to notice. And how many of you have ever heard the expression about setting out a fleece, laying a fleece? Anybody ever heard that? It's an old expression. Okay, some of you have heard it. And sometimes, years ago, they would talk about doing this. Gideon was looking for confirmation of what he already knew that God had asked him and prepared him to do. The fleece that Gideon put out was not a sign of Gideon's faith, it was a sign of his doubt. Now, that's not to say that God can't work in that way. He sometimes does, but we shouldn't make it an everyday practice. Now, I want you to think about this in your own life. Have you ever prayed, and you're driving along, and you prayed, you're praying about something, and you said, well, Lord, if the next car that I meet is a red car, this is what I will do. And the next car is a blue car. And so then you said, well, Lord, you know what? If the next car is a red car, and it's a black car. Well, Lord, you know, if the next car is a red car, then this is what... Now, I'm not going to ask you to show your hands if you've ever done that. Or, Lord, you know, if the waiter comes and instead of saying bonjour, hello, he says hello, bonjour. Come on, you know what I'm talking about here. You know what I'm talking about? If the next person I meet has a bright yellow shirt on, I will know. You can't live your life like that. There are extraordinary circumstances where God will answer through a sign. I think of one that's happened in our lives, and that was when we made the decision to move here to Montreal. We weren't planning to. I'd always felt like I'd be in Montreal sometime, but we weren't planning to move. The church that we were at had just really gone on a growth spurt, and things were going really well, and Brother Pelkey, who was the pastor here before me, called me and said, would you consider coming? And I said, well, you know, I'll come midweek. I'll come on a Wednesday night or Tuesday night, maybe it was. But I won't come on a Sunday because I'm just not that in. And so we came up and we're in midweek service. And Brother Pelkey, some of you remember Brother Pelkey. He was a long time ago. Brother Pelkey was very persistent. I mean, he got an idea in his head, and it just was there. It was not going anywhere. And so he said to us, we hadn't said we're coming. He said, we need to go look at apartments. And so my wife and I, we got a minute by ourselves and said, what are we going to do? We're not in. Well, we said, we'll humor him. You know, we'll just go along. I mean, that's what he wants to do. That we'll just go along and look at apartments. So we're out looking at apartments, and we're not in. I mean, we're not in. We haven't decided we're coming anywhere. We're not in. And so we looked at one that we liked, and it wasn't going to be available, and we said, well, that's that. And so that night, we prayed about it, and we agreed. We said, Lord, you know, If this is your purpose, if you're going to upend everything and bring us here and away from what's happening already, then we want an apartment like that apartment. We want that like that. And there were none available. And, you know, it's got to be unanimous. Everybody's got to want us. And I added a little caveat to that I didn't tell her about. And I said, you know, Lord, if it's really just for me, have her say that it's the will of God. Because, you know, so the next day, you know, Pastor Pelkey was undeterred. He was determined. So he called this place, and we're getting ready to leave. Like, we're going home. And he calls this place, and they said, well, we've got an apartment that's available, but it's not available until later. And they said, well, that won't work for us, so... But Pastor Pelkey, being Pastor Pelkey, said, well, let's go look at it anyway. And we're like, well, what are we going to do? We're going to humor him. So we went to look at it. And we pulled up to the, in the driveway, and it was a triplex, and the lady who owned it, her family owned it, was living in the middle. She comes running out the door when we get there. And she says, you know, this must be God. Well, between the time he called and the time we drove over there, the people who were in the apartment that we were looking at for later, the guy called home and told his wife that you need to give notice on the apartment because we need to be out at the end of the month. I think it was the end of April. And so let them know the apartment's going to be vacant if they can rent it. And we needed it for exactly that time. We walked in, it was identical to the apartment that we had looked at, and so we looked at each other, and the next thing we know, we're filling out an application on an apartment we had no... You might know what I'm talking... You ever have some of those things happen? And then we're driving back, and we're driving along, and we're talking, and my wife looked over me and said, you know, I don't know, but this just seems like the will of God. I'm like... And then we were going into revival services at home, and I mean, we had a great weekend. People were receiving the Holy Ghost, and it was just a wonderful weekend. And the first night after service, the evangelist was at the guy that was speaking was at the parsonage with me, and my wife was driving some people home. And we sat down, and he looked over at me, and he said, you know, while I was on the platform, during service, the Holy Ghost spoke to me, and I said, oh. And he said, he told me that you're not going to be here very long. And, you know, if you could have seen my eyes, because we hadn't, only our very immediate family knew anything about what was going on. And I said, well, you know, I'm going to be resigning on Sunday night, and we're going to be moving to Montreal, and you know, it's amazing how God can sometimes, he can give you a sign. But what about the times when that doesn't happen? Because that's been an extraordinary case within my life, 28 and a half years ago or so. And I haven't had that happen like that since. So in extraordinary cases, God can do it. But that's not the norm. Now you say, Pastor, do you believe that God can and will? I believe he can and will, but I believe that that's not the norm. And so let me talk a little bit about what do we do, how do we make decisions? Number one, the first thing I want you to notice, I'm going to try and be careful about our time. Number one, the first thing I want you to notice is that a direct word from God, the answer to a direct word from God is obedience. The answer to a direct word from God is obedience. There are many things you do not have to pray about. Now that seems strange coming from a preacher who tries to tell you to pray. But there are some things you don't need to pray for direction about. I do not need to pray for direction about whether I should steal from Walmart. Hey, I don't need to pray about it. You know, I don't need to pray. Should I put that under my coat and walk out with it? I don't need to pray. You know, because as awkward as I would be, I'd get caught anyway. But I don't need to pray about it because the Bible says, thou shalt not steal. And you see, you can pray about it, but it doesn't change it. You know, I heard about a guy, and you can't make things up like this. You know, sometimes when you're praying about things like that, it's just your obedience in your disobedience in disguise. Well, I'm going to pray about it. No, that's not obedience. That's disobedience in disguise. I heard about this guy. He was praying about whether he should leave his wife for a secretary. I mean, you can't make this stuff up, honestly, folks. You can't make it up. He was praying, and he asked the pastor, pray with me so that I'll know what to do. And I'm thinking, you dummy. Like, you don't need to pray about it. Hello? Like, really? You know, if you're married, you're married. And the person you're married to is the will of God. I got one amen, and he's not even married. Oh, was it Sean? He's married. I thought I heard you, Brent. You know, the Bible says that God hates divorce. That's what it says. It doesn't say God hates the people. But God hates the pain and the suffering and the agony that is inflicted through it and the breaking of the covenant. God hates divorce, not the divorcee. I think that's important for us to realize. But sometimes we pray about things when there's already a clear word. And that prayer is not about wanting to hear from God. That prayer is about, God, I want somehow a stamp of affirmation on what I want to do. So first thing, when there's a direct word from God, the answer is obedience. Obedience. The Holy Ghost comes into your life as a guide. He'll never direct you to do something contrary to what's written in this book. He never will. You know why? Because God doesn't change his mind. And the Bible says in Peter that holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. So you can pray until you're blue in the face. You can fast until you're skin and bones. But God's answer is still going to be the same when there's a direct word from God. And that's important for us to remember. Because sometimes, if the decision that you're making is contrary to Scripture, and you haven't heard from God, regardless of what voice you've heard, and we begin to feed our flesh, and the next prayer that you probably will be praying is, Lord, save me from the consequences of my really bad decision. So what do we do about decisions of life that are not black and white in the Bible, that are not moral decisions? You know, God can do anything, but he left the power of decision-making to me and to you. He gives us the power of choice within our lives. So here's a concept I was thinking about. First of all, if you want to make good decisions, you can't get out in front of God. You've got to walk with God. So you can't get out in front of God, walk with God. There are some times that it is better to postpone a decision, that's not a life or death decision, that to postpone the decision when you are not sure. Walk with God. God made a promise to Abraham, and Abraham and Sarah got out in front of God. They thought, well, God is too long coming through, too late coming through, we're going to try to improve on it. And so Ishmael came along. Ishmael was not the will of God. And there are some times in our lives that we want to get ahead of God and we get tired of waiting for God. Now, I'm preaching to somebody here today. You know, we say, well, you know, you might be here and single. And you say, well, you know, God's just taking too long to bring somebody along and to bring the right person that meets all the right criteria along. And so I'm just gonna step out and I'm gonna look after this. Now, don't get in front of God. Be patient. There are other areas in our lives we say, why does God have me where he has me? You don't know who you're impacting, you don't know whose life you're touching through where God has you. And at the right time, you know, God always has a right time. And our challenge, your challenge, and my challenge for sure, is that my time is right now. God's time may be down the road a little bit. And my frustration and my impatience get in the way of what God wants to bring within my life. So walk with God. There's an old expression, if you act in haste, you're going to repent at leisure. That's an old expression. So, when it comes to a decision, first of all, have you prayed about it? Have you brought God into it? Moses prayed about decisions when he was leading the children of Israel. The church in the book of Acts prayed about decisions they were making. They got together. They prayed. They brought God into it. Jesus prayed facing the cross. He could have got out of the cross, but he prayed facing the cross, and his prayer was, Father, not my will, but thy will be done. Let me be in tune. Let me bring God into this. Now, Jesus was praying as our example. Bring God into it. Be with God. You say, Pastor, what do you mean about that? sometimes the sign, here's a sign. If you're looking for a sign about a decision, sometimes the sign that you are making a really bad decision is that you will not pray about it. Sometimes the sign, notice I said will. Sometimes the sign that you are about to make a really bad decision is that you will not pray about it. Because there's something in your head you already know. So there's a sign. And then to listen for God's response. What does God want to say in my life? Job 33 in verse number 14, the New Living said, but God speaks again and again, though people do not recognize it. Are we waiting for God to speak into our lives? There's a powerful verse, if you don't have this underlined, Psalm 37, verse 23, a powerful verse from the book of Psalms. This has been a verse that I've quoted over and over to myself through the years. And I feel like if it's a verse that has really helped me and has given me strength, then it'll help you too. And Psalm chapter 37, verse 23. Verse 23 says that the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. And I guess we don't have it on the screen. Are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. Now, if you don't have that underlined, it's something to pray. Because there have been a lot of times I've come up against something. I said, Lord, you said the steps of a good man, and that means woman too, are ordered by the Lord. Ordered by the Lord. And he delighteth in his way. Verse 24, though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholdeth him with his hand. So when I put my trust in Jesus and when I make it my determination that I want to pray the will of God into my life, he said, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. And if he falls, if something happens, he will uphold him with his hand. God will lift him up. Wow. What a promise God gives to us. The next thing that we can do as you pray for peace about the decision. Pray for peace about it. In Philippians chapter 4, Paul writes to the church, and he talks about being full of joy, and this is New Living. In verse 5, let everyone see you're considerate in all you do. In verse 6, don't worry about anything. And that's a challenge. Instead, pray about everything. So that means take it to God. Tell God what you need. Thank him for all he's done. And if you do this, you will experience God's peace. When you pray about it, you will experience God's peace. And his peace will guard your hearts and minds as you live in Christ Jesus. He goes on, and in verse number 9, he said, and the God of peace will be with you. After you've honestly and with an open heart prayed about the decision, do you have godly peace about it? You know, I've never heard God speak in an audible voice. I like to. I just never have. But often God speaks into our psyche, our soul, our spirit, and it's like that little small voice, and it's so hard to describe. It's that little voice that you know it's God. And sometimes when you pray, there's that little voice that's saying, this is not the right thing. And you can't get away from it. Listen to that voice. And here's something to remember. Peace, not excitement, is a measure of the will of God. Peace, not excitement, is a measure of the will of God. Now, the reason that I wanted you to know that or have it on the screen and to reinforce it today is because sometimes we say, I'm really excited about this. It's got to be a good thing. Let me take a little poll. How many of you have ever got excited about something that turned out to be not so good? Would you raise your hand? You've got excited about something and it turned out it wasn't so good. Okay, thank you. Excitement is not a measure of the will of God. Peace is. Because you can get excited about something that is not good for you, or that is not good for your family, or that is not wise. You can get excited about it. It's not the measure of the will of God. One thing that I've found in my life is to pray that God would open the right doors and he'll close the wrong doors. And to pray that honestly, and then if a door closes, not to try to kick it down myself. You know, if you really want to know what God wants, you've got to be willing to accept what God says. If you pray for God's direction in your life, you've got to be willing to accept God's direction. And there are times, if you pray honestly, Lord, I don't know what to do, but I'm asking you to open the right doors and close the wrong doors, keep me from going through the wrong doors. If God closes the door, don't get a battering ram and a crowbar. Realize, I pray, God, if it's the wrong door, close it. And I'm going to accept it, even if it's the door I wanted to walk through. To understand, God knows better than I do. The next thing, pray for wisdom. Pray for wisdom. This is my prayer often, James chapter 1, verse 5. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally. I've had lots of times when I don't know what to do, and I've gone to God and said, God, you know what? I may not be your brightest child right now. You ever have those moments? Like, Lord, I'm not the smartest one right now, and I'm not... And Lord, you said that if I didn't know what to do and I needed wisdom, that I could come to you and ask and that you would give it to me. And you know the amazing thing that I found about that? And I'm not talking about a two-second prayer. You know, sometimes we want to pray a two-second prayer. God, give me wisdom. That's it. That's all. See you later. But I'm talking about when you get your heart in tune with God. Because sometimes when you begin to pray, you've got to break through a bunch of junk just to get sensitive to God. But when you begin to pray through and you begin to touch heaven, God, I'm amazed sometimes how, you know, in the cartoons, they have that light bulb that goes on over your head. Well, I've never seen the light bulb either. But I'm amazed at how many times you go to God in prayer and you stay there and you're saying, God, I need your wisdom. And I'm here until you talk to me, Lord. I need something from you right now. And all of a sudden, seemingly from out of nowhere, a solution comes that I never thought of. That it wasn't there when I started to pray. It wasn't even in the picture, but all of a sudden, you know what? God has a way of opening your mind and bringing the answer when you didn't know what the answer was. But you're not going to get that in a 10-second prayer. You've got to take some time to go to the Lord. Wisdom. The next thing, and we're going to bring this to a close in just a few moments. Get wise, godly counsel. If you want to make good decisions, get wise, godly counsel. You know, if I want advice about finance, I'm not going to go to somebody that can't handle their money. No. If I want advice about life, I'm not going to go to somebody that keeps messing it up, making very bad decisions. Find somebody who is godly and wise, who has a proven track record. And by the way, sometimes your friends will just tell you what you want to hear. Now, a true friend will tell you what you don't want to hear. And please hear me. If you've got a friend that is telling you what you don't want to hear, don't just cut them off. Don't just say, I don't want... Weigh what they're telling you. Look at it. Think about it. Get wise counsel. Proverbs chapter 10 and verse 21, the godly give good advice. Fools are destroyed by their lack of common sense. Proverbs chapter 20, verse 18, plans succeed through good counsel. So get godly advice. And if the advice isn't what you want, don't go, you know, it's like some people go shopping for second and third opinions. You know, the doctor tells them something and they don't like it, so they shop for a second opinion and a third opinion, hoping it's going to change. Sometimes we need to be open and willing to hear what we don't like. And so making godly decisions with godly counsel. And then I was thinking about, and we're going to close with this, Psalm chapter 77. I was thinking about this because sometimes you find yourself in the position of Israel. They came out of Egypt. They have been slaves for 400 years. They came out of Egypt. Moses is leading them. They come to the Red Sea. There's mountains on one side, the Red Sea on one side, and Pharaoh's army is coming to take them back into captivity behind them. The people begin to say, Moses, did you just bring us out here to get us killed? What did you do? Moses prayed because literally they were between the sea and the mountain and the enemy. Sometimes in your life you'll get that way. And the last thing is just learn to trust God. Learn to trust God. Sometimes I won't see the answer until I'm right on top of the answer. Learn to trust God. Psalm chapter 77, writing about that situation, said, your road led through the sea, your pathway through the mighty waters. And I looked at this next part, and this is New Living. This next part, he said, a pathway that no one knew was there. When you put your life in God's hands, when you say, God, you know, Jesus, when he taught us to pray, said, pray, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. That means in my life, let God's will be done. Sometimes, just like Israel never thought that God would take them through the water. They thought the water was too deep. But sometimes God will make a way where there was no way. He said, your road led through the sea. I did not see that coming. Have you ever had that experience? I know I got to close, but have you ever had the experience in your life where you prayed, you couldn't see a way out of the situation, and then God brought you through and you looked at it and said, I did not see that coming. Would you raise your hand if you've ever had that happen? Look around you. If you're in the middle of a situation like that right now and you say, I don't know, I'm between the devil and the deep blue sea and I got this here and this here and this here. Let me tell you what God can do. God can open a pathway that nobody knew was there, because God, sometimes he'll take you through the mountain, sometimes he'll take you around it, but sometimes God will just kind of part the sea. Fleeces and other signs that you can use in your life to make good, godly decisions going forward. So we stand together this morning. I want to circle back to the beginning of my message in our altar call. That there are some things that, when it's a direct word from God, that you don't need to pray about. And if you're here today and you're wondering, should I give my heart to the Lord or not? You don't need to. The offer is there. And Jesus offers to forgive anybody who will come. Say, well, I don't know, should I get baptized? Well, you don't. It's a command of the Scripture, so it's just there. If you've repented, it's a command of the Scripture. You just do it. When we look at our lives, let me challenge you today. If you're seeking to do the will of God, are you first of all making this book your guidebook? Instead of Google? Instead of your friends? Instead of the prevailing thought of our culture, and Here's the thing about culture is culture changes every decade or so. It runs in cycles and it changes, but this book never changes. God never changes. And when you base your life on what God has said, as culture changes, it's going to cycle on around and it'll change again and again and again. But there's one thing that remains sure, and that's the Word of God. And today, you might be here and you're facing major decisions in your life, or maybe, you know, you've got decisions that you're in the process of making, and sometimes it's not the huge decisions that determine our direction as much as it is the small ones. And I want to challenge you today to take these things that I've talked about and make them a part of your decision-making process. Maybe that you're here today and you've been struggling in your relationship with God, but God's just kind of calling you back to Himself today. Would you just hear God's voice within your life this morning? I'm going to ask you to bow your heads with me as we pray. Father, I thank You for Your presence in this place. I thank You for my brothers and sisters that are here, and Lord, I thank You for our honesty before You. Lord, we want Your direction and Your guidance in our lives. We want to follow hard after You. And Lord, I pray that You will speak into our hearts today. Lord, I pray for those who are here today in the middle of making decisions, some big decisions. Lord, I pray that they'll bring You into it, and Lord, that You will speak and You'll direct. Lord, that You will guide as You said You would. Lord, I pray that our choices, our decisions will always bring us closer to You. And Lord, that You will lead and guide and direct within our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Now we're going to sing, and as is our custom, we're going to have a prayer time. If you're here today and you've never made Jesus Lord of your life, that's the first decision and greatest decision that you could ever make. And I want to invite you to make that decision today. We're going to pray. We're going to gather around the front to worship and pray together. And I'd like to invite you to step out of your seat. If you're not accustomed to doing that, just step out of your seat and come down to the front and pray. We're going to pray together. And let's let God speak with you.